much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Yes, Commissioner.
I'm very sorry to disturb you, but this is very important. Now listen very carefully.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Wheel in the sky keeps on turning.
Yes.
Is this Bean Baxter?
It is.
It's Ralph Garman from the Kevin and Bean Show here. We have Allison Brie here.
Hi, Bean.
Oh, we must have lost the connection. Oh. Damn these phones. We always
hate it when that happens.
These are the most unpredictable phones here in the studio.
Did you hear how excited he was?
And now,
Fire Beer Mug.
The hour's coming.
Our feature presentation.
The hour is coming. That's hard to argue.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is a Tuesday morning, the 23rd of April.
Has the king said anything yet? Has he mocked you yet? Is he screaming in your face?
About his clippers? No, he's just wearing a shirt. He's quietly wearing the shirt.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's the credit situation on Lakers versus Clippers in the playoffs?
Who goes further is 50 credits.
Okay.
And I don't, it seems like there's three others. I don't know.
Well, here's what happened at the end of last night's game.
And here you see Chris Paul, the smallest man on the court, take it upon himself. 1.2 seconds left. CP3 for the win.
Chris Paul had the last 8 Clipper points, and the last one put him over the top. And the L.A. Clippers have won it 93-91.
So they're up 2-0 to Memphis. There was 1.2 seconds when he got the ball and started heading toward the basket. There was a tenth of a second left on the clock when it went in.
Yeah.
Buzzer beater.
Yeah.
Crazy, right?
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. They're doing well.
They're good at basketball.
Yes, they are.
I got a text from our little friend Brad Williams this morning who insisted that I start with this story today. So in honor of Brad, I'm happy to. This is the guy who's all over the news right now. Maybe you saw him yesterday. His name is Rafe Biggs. He is 43 years old, and he is a quadriplegic.
Okay.
He broke his neck after falling off a roof 9 years ago. Man, that's tough.
Seems bad.
That's way bad. He lost all feeling below the waist and feared he would never experience sexual pleasure again. But a year later, he started enjoying orgasmic sensations when his girlfriend would massage or suck his thumb.
What?
He now regards his thumb as a surrogate penis and says, I feel a buildup of energies and feel like I'm getting closer and closer to orgasm. This is what he was saying, talking about at the beginning. When I did it, it was one wave of pleasure after another. It was amazing. I thought I would never be able to experience sexual pleasure again, but massaging and sucking my thumb feels a lot like it used to back when I had sex. It's really hot. He doctors say that what he is experiencing is a transfer orgasm, where another place on the body gives the same sensation. He has significant reduction in pain after a session, says his sex surrogate, just like that movie that just came out recently.
Did you say surrogate?
He did.
Sorry.
Did I? I'm sorry. Surrogate,
like thumb.
Yeah. No,
yeah,
but
that's a sex therapist for a thumb.
No, I know, but I thought
he was
making it, yeah.
Yeah.
he works for an organization, by the way, called Sexability, which is a therapeutic group that tries to help disabled people experience sexuality despite paralysis.
Now, here comes the question. Do you as a guy then just sit at home and suck your thumb all day?
Because you can.
Because you can.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And I also wonder if to preserve sensitivity, you try not to use your thumb for mundane things. You know?
Oh, like maybe you keep it in a little glove. And
yeah,
protect
exactly.
It all the time.
Keep it in a glove.
Put some underwear on it. Exactly. Yeah.
I hear you.
So how crazy is that story,
that's
by the
weird.
Way?
If that's really what's happening,
it's
that's
amazing.
Crazy. Yeah.
It's wonderful. Can I do that without being a paraplegic?
I bet you can. I bet you could
try.
Develop sensitivity. Yeah. A doctor says that he is right to believe in neuroplasticity. Brain specialists know that brain and nerve cells can regenerate and form new connections after injury. That is how some people recover from stroke. So apparently he thought it was all over, Mr. Rafe Biggs, but now he's living the dream.
How about that?
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's hot.
Sucking your own thumb. How do I get some? How, Can I do that without being paralyzed?
I don't want to watch you.
Well, that's what Lisa was asking about a minute ago, but I still could, yeah.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Hello, what do you want? You can't have it. Goodbye.
From AFI, we have Davey Havoc in the studio. He's talking about his new novel called Pop Kids.
He's smart.
He's smart and talented, both.
Yeah, he's got it all going on.
Comedian Jay Moore on the program today.
Love Jay.
Going to tell you about a new app that they're using in Iceland to make sure that they're not committing incest.
Oh, I believed you when you said that yesterday. Now I doubt it.
It's happening. It's happening. We have Jeff Probst talking about Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
We have you fired on the first day of work.
Based on our very funny newsman.
And our newsman yesterday that cursed on the very first newscast that he was ever on. They fired him.
Very first second of the very first newscast, too. Didn't even, it's not like he was doing great for 29 minutes and then screwed it up at the end. He came out of the gate with a fireable offense.
That was strong. And we have your tickets for Depeche Mode at the Troub.
Sweet.
Coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
I regret to say that I did not see episode one of the Ryan Lochte reality show that debuted on E! Over the weekend. I need to check that out because apparently he's the dumbest person in the world.
It's not just dumb. It's also there is a lack of anything there. He's just invisible.
Just boring.
His personality is a black hole.
But he's got plenty of arrogance.
Yes, he does that. Yes, that's true.
He makes up with an incredible sense of entitlement and arrogance. So
everyone is talking about Ryan Lochte all of a sudden, even though we're not in the Olympic season, because he has this reality show that debuted, and he's been doing press for it. And your buddy out in Philadelphia, one of the morning news shows out there in Philadelphia, Ralph, apparently they just could not contain themselves after interviewing Ryan Lochte. And the tape is hilarious, and we'll play that for you coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Where's the last place on earth you would bring your dad and your kid?
Swingers party.
That's a good place.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, that's good. How about your negotiation for your sex tape? Would that be another location you might leave them at home?
Your dad and your three-year-old?
Yeah.
Both are awkward.
My best buddy, Farrah Abraham, did just that when she hit up the offices of Vivid Entertainment, negotiating a possible deal for her sex tape. That she did just for herself, for her happiness, for privacy.
She did that for privacy.
She did it for privacy. And yet, here she is negotiating with Vivid about the release of the same sex tape.
Well, you know her only flaw, Ralph, is being in the public eye.
That's true. She showed up with her father and her three-year-old in tow. She said she only brought her father along for support. Yeah.
What a creepy dude.
What a horrible father. Look, you can support her afar, but you don't have to enable her by giving her a ride to the porn shop. When he was on Dr. Phil, he seemed like considerably the worst of the two parents. And that's the one she gets along with because apparently he just caves and says whatever she wants.
Yeah.
A new book, by the way, out called Teen Mom Confidential, Secrets and Scandals from MTV's Most Controversial Shows, is all about the behind-the-scenes goings-on of the Teen Mom series and the 16 and Pregnant series on MTV. This book claims that everyone connected with the show hated Farrah Abraham.
Oh, I believe it.
That she, during the show, would refer to the camera crew as her workers.
Wow.
Can you imagine this knocked-up little 16-year-old, and you're like a teamster, and she's referring to you as, oh, you're my worker.
Wow.
She also apparently was very unpopular in her apartment complex, even before she was shooting the series. When she finally moved out, rumor has it that all the neighbors came together and started to applaud when she left the complex. You know where she's from, by the way?
No.
You have any guesses?
Nope.
What state of the union she may be
Florida.
From? There you go. Please enjoy.
Farrah Abramson.
Amanda Bynes. Oh.
Now what?
Everything. All the time. She's tweeting again, crazy tweets. Yesterday, she just tweeted a picture of Drake with just the caption, King.
Okay.
She loves her some Drake.
She will not rest until Drake has sex with her.
Well, she said she wanted him to murder her vagina.
Yeah, she's insisting.
Yeah. Can I murder some other part of her?
I don't think so.
And according to a website called RumorFix.com, Amanda was recently asked to leave a Planet Fitness gym in New York City when staff there discovered she was smoking marijuana in the woman's locker room.
That is the best way to get fit.
It really is.
I know that.
Amanda denies the gym's claims, saying, I don't smoke in the bathroom. I also don't smoke pot. I smoke tobacco. But she claims she rolls her own cigarettes. That's why people think she smokes pot. Because she rolls her
why
own.
Why would you roll your own cigarettes?
Well, it's so much more. It's so much easier and more convenient than buying them at the store. And while we're talking about douchebags, pop scrotum Justin Bieber, also in the news for his Instagram. He was very, very proud of himself. He posted a picture of himself wearing a black Chanel ski mask. You're familiar with the fashion house Chanel?
Sure.
He put it up there and just captioned with one word, Chanel. He has no idea how to spell Chanel.
So Chanel?
He was very eager to brag about his ski hat, but is too stupid to know how to spell the brand. He's the best. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Wow, it's like a visit to TV land. It's like the tube of history of television with today's celebrity birthdays.
Right.
Lee Majors.
Aww.
The $6 million mother effing man.
Wow.
That's what he is.
Can't believe he's still alive.
What?
Well, they rebuilt him, Bean.
He made him better than he was. Better, stronger, faster.
I forgot parts of him are only a couple of years old. It seems like he... I can't remember the last thing he did, Ralph.
He was just on something. What the hell was it? Damn it, I just saw him in something.
Next hour.
I'll find out next hour, yeah. But he was just on television, and he's really good. He's a good actor. Of course, he's stuck with that forever. He played a spy on something. Damn it. All right, I'll think of it later. 74 years old today. Joyce DeWitt from Three's Company. Come knock on my door.
She was the one who wasn't famous on that show.
She was the lesser hot one of the two. She's 64 years old today. Valerie Bertinelli turns 53. George Lopez is 52. Cal Penn, who will be in our studios here on Thursday.
That's right.
Oh, great.
He's 36 years old today. Actor Dev Patel from Slumdog Millionaire.
And the governor of Massachusetts.
He is 23 years old today. And Michael Moore. Filmmaker Michael Moore turns 59 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I was thinking about Ryan Lochte, the Olympic gold medalist. He won a ton of Olympics gold medals, right? Didn't he win a million of them?
Yes, he won a million.
Like seven or eight.
He won a million of them. That was Michael like Phelps, that. Wasn't it?
Well, Michael did, too.
I think Ryan Lochte did as well. But both of those guys are such unbelievable zeros. And is that what happens when you are a swimmer at that caliber? Is you just spend all of your time by yourself underwater and you just don't develop any kind of personal skills because you're literally in the pool for 10 hours a day?
Well, that was our Michael Phelps theory.
Michael Phelps was a zero personality.
Was a zero. This guy might be worse.
This guy's worse, yes. Ryan Lochte is worse.
He says the more you get in the public eye, the more haters you're going to have, and that's a given. But you know what? All the haters, all the name-calling goes through one ear and out the other, and I don't mind it. The way I look at it, the more haters I have, it means I'm doing something right. And that's in response to him becoming a national punchline, basically, as a result of this tape that we're about to play for you.
Now, it's a weird thing because there are people who are talented who have haters.
Sure, that's true.
You know
what
I mean? Like, and they do have to let it go in one ear and out the other, and they're actually accomplishing something.
Nobody is loved by everyone.
Right. But in this particular case, I don't think he's loved by anyone.
Well, except in that one tiny area of being the world's greatest swimmer.
Sure, that's fine.
He is accomplishing something. I mean, he does have talent in one area. He has talent in no other areas, though.
So the name of the TV show, I believe, is What Would Ryan Lochte Do?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And wow, is he a zero. Listen to this from the show.
Describe yourself as a player.
Describe player. Going out trying to look for a date, I don't really have to do that. They come to me.
Yeah. I don't have to do that. They come to me. I believe it because he's sort of famous.
Sure. And he's not bad looking.
I mean, let's be honest. If you're talking about the Olympics, you got the NBA players. Then you got the track athletes. I don't know where the swimmers come, but they're down near the bottom someplace.
Yeah, he probably goes out with his medals on his neck.
Probably, yeah. So now he's on this show in Philadelphia, and the anchors are talking to him, and he is really, really the best. Listen to this.
Not that we shouldn't care what you do, but why should we care? What are you doing?
What am I not doing?
Okay.
I'm a lot different than any other kind of Olympian. I mean, when you think of Olympian, you think of they eat, they train, they sleep.
Mm-hmm. All right, so he's very different than that.
What does he do?
What does he do that none of the other Olympians do?
That's all they do.
Okay.
With me, that's definitely not the case. I mean, there's so much more to me than swimming.
Like?
And I like to go out and have fun, like to go dancing, hang out with my friends. I like doing fun stuff like playing basketball, skateboarding, hanging out with my family, which is like the biggest part of my life. And you'll see all that.
Yeah. You know what no other athlete does? Hang out with their family and do fun stuff.
And party? By
the, what the F?
Like any other kid his age?
Right.
Exactly. And how is hanging out with your family a reality show?
It's not.
You know, it's not Ryan's fault. Who's doing this show?
I don't know. I don't know what channel it's on.
Well, I blame them.
E? Yeah.
Yeah. It's their fault.
Yeah. Okay, listen to this.
Every woman you meet, is she trying to be the one? Come on, tell the truth.
I don't know if she's trying to be the one, but am I out there looking for the one? Yes, I am.
Now, what would get to you? What kind of lie?
Now, I want to play
Liar.
This. Yeah, I want to play this for you again because this is in real time. So you're going to hear a long pause after the question.
Okay.
And it's Ryan Lochte not being able to come up with a single answer.
To you, what kind of line could somebody say? What would get your attention? Oh,
good
really?
Question.
So the anchor says, oh, really? Because he can't come up with a single answer to that, no matter what. And now is where he starts losing the anchors, and they start, now you can see they're sort of making faces and looking at each other like, is this happening? What's going on with this guy?
In other words, it's not happening. All right, so.
No, this woman has my attention.
We're looking at video of you, and you're, you know, you're out, you're having a good time. So how are you doing this and training?
You know, my philosophy is if you're a man at night, you got to be a man in the morning. So
ooh.
If I go out all night and I go dancing and I'm drinking, you know what? I still have a job to do and I still have a goal to do, which is 2016 Olympics. And no matter what I did the night before, I'm still going to wake up in the morning and be the best swimmer I can be and give it 110%.
You know what you're not going to do is that.
You know,
because
yeah.
if you're up all night and you're drinking, it turns out physically you can't get up first thing in the morning and go swim 110%.
You might get up, but you're going to suck.
You're going to suck. He's awesome.
Is it bothering you to have the cameras following you around everywhere? Or are you getting used to it?
You know, I'm getting used to it. And
yeah.
This is my favorite part now because he's talking about the camera watching him brush his teeth. And the anchors are a little confused by that because they thought the bathroom was off limits, and listen to how he describes the bathroom and how this works.
Okay. I mean, the first couple of days, it was a little weird.
Yeah.
I was brushing my teeth, and the camera was there, and I was like, what are you guys doing?
They go to the bathroom? I thought the bathroom was off limits. On reality shows, they follow you into the bathroom? So you have to tell them what you're doing.
Well, I mean, I guess there's a mirror with a sink, and then you have the bathroom. So
right.
They knew what a bathroom was. That wasn't the confusion.
I think what he's...
Wait a minute, but his life is different, you guys,
yeah, very.
In every way. So in his bathroom...
I think what he's trying to say is there's a separate door for the toilet.
Right.
I see.
I think that's what he's trying to say, but
I don't speak Ryan, sorry.
Unable to do it. So at the end of the interview, when they say goodbye, and you don't see this very often, they literally can't stop laughing. I mean, they are mocking him hardcore because he's such a zero.
Okay, Ryan, good luck to you. We'll be watching.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I can't do it. I got four.
Seriously, how are they going to get enough material? What was the question that stumped him?
What a woman can say.
Oh,
what a woman can say.
I guess silence impresses him.
No, it's just a woman couldn't say anything. Woo! What did he say? I'm a man at night. What is it?
You know, I'm a man at night and a man in the morning.
Can't do it.
Let me tell you about this, Chanel.
Snorting. Can't do it.
She's snorting. We got to go to break.
I can't do it.
Once she starts snorting, we got to take a break.
It's all over.
Oh, I love that so much.
Good day, Philadelphia. They have a good time.
That is the best.
Getting a tremendous response to Depeche Mode at the Troub on Friday night. As you can imagine, getting all sorts of emails with all sorts of stories about deployment and cancer and dead dogs and just anything you can think of that makes you the person for the Depeche Mode tickets. But unfortunately, that's not how we're giving them away. We're making it fair for everybody by giving you a chance to win every single half hour on KROQ starting at 9 a.m. all the way up through 8 p.m. So that includes two chances here on the Kevin and Bean Show in the 9 o'clock hour. Go to KROQ.com for all the details.
We've all been fired, right? Has everyone been
yes.
fired?
I have, yes.
Yeah. I have been fired, absolutely.
I've been fired as well. It's good. It's fun.
Worst time of my life.
I've never been fired from an actual job, though, in one day.
No.
Like, you show up, and then that's your last day.
Yeah. Yeah, that's unusual.
I don't think that's ever happened to me in college, but it's never happened to me, you know,
in the real world.
Job. Yeah.
Right.
But this guy, A.J. Clement, who is a was a local anchor in North Dakota's NBC affiliate. He was doing the newscast, and it was the very first newscast he had ever done.
Okay.
And he cursed and got fired. All in one day.
You don't curse on a newscast?
Well, he didn't think his mic was on. But at the same time, you're on a news set, the lights are on, the cameras are trained on you.
You're wearing a microphone, and you know, even if you're not sure, you know that you're very close to going live
yes.
on the air because you're sitting there in a suit getting ready to do a newscast.
And yeah. he must have had some, like, college experience, something for them to
yes,
hire
Yes, I would
him.
Assume so.
I don't know. We've seen him, and I don't know. We're going to take your calls in a second, though, especially if you were fired on the first day. You went to work and then came home and you didn't have a job. That's awesome. But also if you had a really horrible first day.
Or committed a tremendous error or cost the company money or screwed up or did something bad or embarrassing on your first day at work. Preferably it led to you being fired. But if not, we'd like to hear whatever your bad first day at work experience was.
Pinky, you hold on. I want to play the tape from AJ Clement. This is the news anchor that got fired, and for some reason he's mumbling under his breath, and they throw it to the news anchor, who's a woman, and she has to eventually tell him, hey, by the way, we're on the air, so stop talking under your breath, mumbling and cursing.
On NBC North Dakota News, your news leader in high definition.
Gay.
Good evening, I'm Van Chu. You may have seen our newest AJ on NBC. See North Dakota News, and he'll be joining the weekend news team as my co-anchor. Tell us a little bit about yourself, AJ.
I curse.
By the way, does he have Tourette's?
Fire them both, by the way. Seriously, what kind of a remedial program are they running? I know it's only the weekends and it's only North Dakota, but don't you feel like you can get somebody off the street who could read better than both of those anchors?
Yes, I do. He says, by the way, that he didn't say gay. That he was trying to pronounce the name of the person who won the London Marathon, whose name is T-S-E-G-A-Y-E.
Okay, but...
Tegay.
But the other name isn't...
Cassidy or something like that.
No, his last name is F and S.
So then he, you know, she welcomes him to the team.
Thanks, Van. I'm very excited. I graduated from West Virginia University, and I'm used to, you know, from being from the East Coast.
Okay, well, welcome aboard, AJ.
Didn't ask that.
Go for it.
All right, you're fired.
Here's what's shocking, and again, we're going to take your phone calls on terrible first days at work. Preferably, you got fired. But here's what's shocking to me about this, because this guy is obviously incompetent and shouldn't be doing news in North Dakota. The station, as a result of him being fired and then him apologizing to everybody on Twitter, is just being overwhelmed with people around the world who are saying, hey, give the guy another chance.
Really?
To be funny?
No, here's Adam Kyle, who wrote, I wish you would reconsider your decision to fire AJ. His response and reaction to all this has been mature and well-measured. He probably has won many people over with his humility. Philip Chua writes, the entire country will now judge your station by your actions in this young man's case. You'll be harshly judged for that one error. Josh writes, I'm really disappointed you decided to fire Mr. Clemente for a mistake that hurt no one. And it just goes on and on and on with people putting the pressure on this station to have this guy back on.
I want him back on as well, but for different reasons.
All right, let's talk to Pinky on line one and find out what happened. 1-800-520-1067. Worst ever first day at work. Pinky, what happened to you?
Well, I was starting this great job a couple years ago, and I went to the Emmys the night before.
Yeah.
Which was the first time I'd gone to the Emmys, and, you know, it was amazing, and I stayed out too late after parties. Mm-hmm. And at, like, 4 in the morning, I'm like, oh, well, I can't really go home. I should just power through and just get through the first day. So I went in, and they played a bunch of those training videos.
Oh, those are so deadly dull.
they're so deadly dull, and they turn the lights off, and the third one was a repeat of the first, and I fell asleep.
All right. So you fell asleep during the training video on day one.
On day one, yes.
And they fired you?
Well, they said, they came back in, and they said, oh, we noticed you kind of fell asleep. Why don't you go home and get some rest and come back in tomorrow refresh?
Really?
Oh, well, that's nice.
Uh-huh, and then they called and fired me.
Oh, really?
I think if I'm the boss and you're falling asleep on day one.
Yeah, but they're training videos.
Oh, listen, I know. Those are hell.
That's brutal.
And in Pinky's defense, she was out drinking till 4 a.m. What do you want her to do?
That's true.
I wasn't drinking. I was waiting for January Jones to leave a party so I could get a picture with her.
Wow. All right, well, okay. that's worth a job, getting fired from a job, yeah. All right, thank you, Pinky.
Thank you for the call, Pinky. We appreciate it. Jordan, you hang on. Lauren, PH, everybody else, we're taking your calls on your bad first day at work. We're looking for stories if you got fired, like our little friend Mr. Clemente in North Dakota. We'll be right back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking about the North Dakota reporter that everyone in the country is laughing at for saying the F word and the S word in his first 1 second on the air at his new weekend anchor gig at that station in North Dakota. And we're taking your calls and your stories of being fired or having terrible first days. Listen to this. This is from N.A. is how his email goes. A few years ago when I was 18, my first job was at one of those silly warehouse jobs loading trucks. Well, my first day on the job, a coworker who was also new, we're told to load a full trailer with merchandise from Big Lots. Well, we packed it to the limit and it drove away to some southern state. The next day we found out we had loaded it with inventory for a different store. Cost about $5,000 to the company because the store didn't receive what they needed and everything had to be swept around and we both got fired. Day one, you get fired. That's the kind of story we're looking for here at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Lauren. She is on line four here on the Kevin Bean Show. Find out how she screwed up on day one.
Hey, Lauren.
Hello.
Was it a good job? What was it?
I'm sorry. It was a bad experience.
Well, what job was it?
It was a waitressing job
okay.
at a sports bar.
And what happened?
Basically, just turned 21, first job at a sports bar. I was training, and my girlfriend came in to congratulate me on my first day. She was about to turn 21, and she ordered a drink. And I stupidly put the order in, and my waitress that was training with me was, you know, obviously carded her because she looks like she's 18.
Right,
and it's the law.
Yeah, and it's the law. So basically, that was the quick, you know, kind of out the
door. So you got fired at that moment.
Hello, goodbye.
Yeah.
Hey, congratulations. Now we can go drink for real.
Oh, not you, sorry.
Yeah.
Lauren, do you even get a paycheck for like the 1.5 hours you work or something? Or is it just a wash? They just send you home.
Oh, no. She walked me back to the boss and basically said, this is what happened. And he's like, all right, thanks.
Wow. All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Tim. Tim is on line one here on the Kevin Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Fired on your first day. Tim, what happened?
I got the nervous poo.
Okay.
Oh, no.
They played Coachella, by the way, this past weekend.
They were great.
It was terrible. I sat down. I was supposed to call people about the rental equipment and the status. And my stomach was churning, so I asked for a break. And I ran to the restroom. And as I went, I plugged the toilet up. I'm going through hell, not only because I'm in pain, but I plugged up the toilet. And there was no spray. I come out finally, and they go, you were in there for 45 minutes.
Are you just serious?
45 minutes.
And they said, we're good. We're good. Supervisor, take your position. We're good.
Oh, man.
Well, no one wants to work with you after what you did to their bathroom anyway, Tim. So I think it's best that you get a chance to start fresh somewhere else. Thank you for the call. Tim, that was Tim. Cody writes in from the Kevin Bean Facebook page. I showed up for the interview. Boss told me to come back tomorrow for a formal interview. When I came back, the boss wasn't there, but the other employees were, and they thought I had been hired, so they put me to work. Finally, at the end of the day, the boss comes and says, hey, what are you doing here? He then tells me he didn't want to tell me no the day before, and he was just hoping I wouldn't come back when he told me to come back the next
what
day.
What kind of way is that to run a business?
It's a terrible way to run a business.
Sure hope that guy doesn't come back.
Essentially, Cody got fired before he was hired is basically what happened, and then accidentally worked the first day. That's a crazy story, right?
Wow.
All right, let's try Jordan. Jordan on line two had an interesting show business job, Kevin. This could be something.
Hey, Jordan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What were you doing in the world of showbiz?
Well, I had just gotten out of college, and I had my radio TV film degree, and I wanted to get a gig out in L.A., so I had a connection.
What gig was it?
It was a Kesha music video. It was just a one-day shoot.
Okay.
And they had me come down, and I thought I was just going to be pulling cables and stuff, but the first thing they tell me to do is go and pick up Kesha and her entourage at the hotel that was nearby.
Okay.
So they give me the keys to this, 12-person van that I had never driven before. I ended up crashing it into two things in the parking lot on my way out.
Before you even got out to the road?
Before I even left the parking lot. So I took off somebody's mirror. I backed into another car.
Sweet.
It was horrible. So, a hit and run, and I keep going. Don't say anything. I get lost driving to the hotel to pick her up. So I'm 15 minutes late. The entourage is in the van with me. She's in the van behind me, following me with her bodyguard.
Right.
I get lost going back to the set.
All right.
In circles, pretending I'm knowing where I'm going. And I'm getting yelled at by her entourage. And in the whole midst of everything, I end up running a red light. Right in front of a cop.
Holy cow, you might be the worst employee that's ever lived.
It was probably the worst day of my life. So
did you get fired when you got back to the set?
I got back to the set, and I just told the girl that hooked me up with it. I was like, you know what? I don't even want to finish out the day. I just want to go home.
So yeah, you quit. I'm not cut out for this.
You quit before they could fire you, but that was certainly coming.
That was the end of my showbiz career.
All right,
that's
very successful.
Awesome. This is why you don't get a degree in radio and television, by the way, because you end up like him. All right, thank you. How about Ryan? One more in the show business world. Ryan, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened to you?
Nothing. I was basically just started the first day. Came into a drum manufacturer's company. Worked over in Orange County. First day there, just trying to make a name for myself. Was packing up some drums. About to ship them off to a customer. Realized the customer's name was a big celebrity.
What celebrity?
His name was Fred Durst.
Ah, yes.
Ever heard of him?
Yeah. Of course.
What I decided to do was basically rub my bare butt on these drums before I packed them in a box. send them off to Fred Durst. And
Wait, you rubbed your ass on the drums on your first day?
I was trying to make a name for myself. I was the new guy, trying to make the guys laugh and stuff like that. Everyone thought the same thing of Fred Durst that I did. So it was kind of a funny joke. The owner didn't think it was that funny. So it was actually not the first 3 hours I was there. So what's
I think I stand by that decision. I think I'm standing by Ryan in that decision.
Well, I thought it was a good
You thing. Rub your butt on the drums if they're for Fred Durst. I think that's a good, solid rule.
That way he opened up my butt drums. It was good.
Right. Exactly. It's worth losing your job for. Thank you for the call.
On NBC North Dakota News, your news leader in high definition.
Gay.
Good evening. I'm Van Tew. You may have seen our news from AJ on NBC.
Fire them both, I'm telling you. Fire them both.
Yes. Love that so much. You can't blame her. How is she supposed to anticipate that?
Well, she's an awful
because
newscaster.
She's terrible. But listen, they're in North Dakota, so.
That doesn't mean
North
they don't deserve competent newscasters.
North Dakota is still in America, by the way. We ought to be able to do better than that. Hey, let me tell you who's great on television.
Oh,
is
thank you, Bean. I appreciate that. You're
thanks,
very
Bean.
Kind.
That's very
that,
nice
that
of you.
That means a lot to me. Oh. Thank you.
Is Jeff Probst, the host of Survivor, who joins us coming up after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Also, Jay Moore next hour. Davey Havoc. From AFI, who's also an author. He's got a real book out. This isn't like a cartoon book. This isn't like a little kid's book. This is an actual book with 280 pages that he wrote with words that came out of his brain. He joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. And we've got your Depeche Mode tickets for their show at the Troubadour coming up at 9. That's all on the way. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
Were you thinking I had too much time to do showbiz news? Was that the concern?
Yes.
Mr. 8-minute promo chunk?
Mr. Probst will not be joining us until 10 after, so take your time.
When Ralph had that, what was it called?
A didgeridoo.
Didgeridoo. And he would come in and blow it every day?
Second season.
Yeah.
And then he would play the didgeridoo.
What have I been highlighting?
All right, I'm going to give you something now that's going to make you very happy, Kevin and Bean listeners.
How about tickets to the advance screening of Iron Man 3?
Yay!
Can't wait for to see this film. Oh, Iron Man, Iron Man,
nope.
Does whatever an iron can.
That's no.
Dresses pants
nope.
And your shirts.
That's not.
Leaves a crease. Always hurts. Look
you're
out.
Confused. You're
Here
confused,
comes the
bro.
Iron Man.
That's completely different. I like it, but it's not a thing.
Oh, should be a thing. It's happening Tuesday, April the 30th at the AMC Burbank 16. Of course, the movie's in theaters everywhere Friday, May the 3rd, but you'll see it before anybody else, almost. The premiere's tomorrow night. But other than those people, you'll be the first to see it. I don't want to give these away just like willy-nilly, though, because,
no. You
know, comic books are near and dear to my heart. So I ask you a little trivia question. All you need to do is be one of the first five people to get through at 1-800-520-1067 with the correct answer. Boom. You get yourself a pair of passes to the advanced screening of Iron Man 3. Just tell me, comic book friends, the issue of what comic where Iron Man made his first comic book appearance. What issue of what comic did Iron Man make his first appearance?
Number 8.
No, that's not correct.
Number 3.
Nope.
Number 10.
Stop it.
I'm out.
Of course, Stan Lee created Iron Man.
69.
Fed up with you, too.
Oh.
It's Tuesday. That means there's a bunch of CDs and DVDs available now that you can pick up for your entertainment dollar. Here's what's new. Bankrupt by Phoenix. New Phoenix CD.
All right.
Drops today. You can check that out. Venomous Rat Regeneration Vendor by Rob Zombie. And To Be Loved by Michael Bublé. Those two things should not even be next to each other on a list. DVDs today. I'm so excited this is finally out on DVD because I missed it in theaters and I really want to see it. Gangster Squad is out today with Josh Brolin, Nick Nolte, Sean Penn, Ryan Gosling. I want to check that out. I missed it in theaters. The Impossible. Naomi Watts and Ewan McGregor. That's that tsunami movie.
That's the movie that's too sad for any humans to sit through.
I refuse to watch it.
That looked really
good. No. Promised Land. Matt Damon and John Krasinski. It's about fracking.
Oh, right. Yeah.
That's the one that they wrote, right?
It's the fracking movie.
Never heard
of it. Just watch the fracking movie. Jurassic Park 3D. 3D Blu-ray. Is out today.
Wait, this is the 3D version that just came out in theaters 2 weeks ago?
Yep.
And now it's out on the Blu-ray? Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, but I never saw that one.
It's an old movie. That was good.
A Haunted House with Marlon Wayans and Cedric the Entertainer.
What else you got?
Masterpiece Classic Theater, Mr. Selfridge with Jeremy Piven.
That's currently airing. The whole series hasn't even aired yet, and you're telling me the whole thing's out now.
Listen, take it up with PBS, all right? I don't want to hear your problems. I'm not the complaint department. And Maverick, the complete second season starring James Garner, one of my favorites of all time, also available.
Wow, they rushed that one out.
So that's,
what is that, from about 1963 or something?
1958, if I'm not mistaken. Finally getting around to...
Slowest working people in the world right there.
It's getting around to that, which is good. Katy Perry...
Yes?
...was asked by Us Weekly magazine if the rumors were true that she had been seen kissing her ex-husband, Russell Brand. Her response? Three words. Gross as if, she said. To which I replied, that's what we said when you married him.
Yeah, wait a minute. You married him first.
Don't gross as if to us. We were telling you that then.
Should have listened to us back then. You wouldn't be divorced now.
That's right. Stupid Katy Perry. X Factor has announced that it's confirmed. No Khloe Kardashian as its host.
Oh, yeah.
Mario Lopez will have to carry on.
How will they go on?
Solo. Boy, she will be missed, man. She was the heart and soul of that
show.
She
really was. Oh, wait. She wasn't very good.
And Comedy Central has canceled Futurama. Its animated series, Futurama. The final season begins June the 19th and will wrap up on September 4th with a final episode. So all you Futurama fans who are saying, that was still on the air? you can say goodbye to your beloved Futurama series. This is the second time it had been canceled.
It feels like this is a familiar story to me.
It was canceled by Fox in 2003.
And they did
Comedy
the right
Central
thing.
Picked it up, and they have just canceled
And they
it,
did so. The right thing.
So it's been around for a long time.
Too long,
would
say.
And yet, I had no idea it was still on the air. So what did that tell you? Let's take a look and see if how about a winner? We got a winner?
Yep.
How about David on line one? I think he was the first person to get through. David?
Yes, I'm here.
David, what comic and issue did Iron Man make his first comic book appearance?
Tales of Suspense, number 39.
That's absolutely true. March 1963.
What a geek.
Tony Stark first put on the Iron Man suit. Here's
obviously.
Bonus question, David. What color was the Iron Man suit, the first Iron Man suit?
It was gray.
Oh, you're my boy. You're my boy, wow. David. Congratulations. Hold on. I'm going to give you all the details, but we are going to send you to the advanced screening of Iron Man 3.
Awesome. Thank you.
David, have you ever had a date?
Stop it,
no,
Kevin.
Never. No.
That's what I thought.
David, you're not helping us. You're not helping our cause with those kind of shenanigans. Congratulations also to Jacob and Jerome, Jason and Matt. Jacob, now Jerome. Sounds like the time has shown up to go to the screening.
Look at all those women that are calling to win these tickets.
It.
It's insane how many of them there are.
It you is know, a sausage girl won chest. Yesterday, so
bite you.
Bite me.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthday is Lee Majors, the $6 million man. 74 years old today. What was that noise you just did?
I was just helping with the sound effects.
Thanks for all your help. Joyce DeWitt of Three's Company, 64. Michael Moore, documentarian and eater extraordinaire, 59.
Professional fat guy, that dude.
Valerie Bertinelli's 53. George Lopez, the comedian, actor, is 52. Cal Penn is going to be in our studios on Thursday, is 36. And Dev Patel, Slumdog Millionaire, is 23 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
So before we go to Mr. Probst, Ralph, tell me again what you were saying off the air about why you have never been a contestant on Survivor.
Because they're scared of me. Survivor's scared of me. They know I'll just go there and I'll just crush. It wouldn't be fair to everyone else.
It wouldn't even be interesting TV.
Yeah, because it would be too good a contestant. And also, I'm too sane. Apparently, they only have lunatics on Survivor now. That's how they decide who goes on Survivor.
Well, Survivor, believe it or not, is in its 26th go-round, and our friend, the host of the program, Jeff Probst, joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. Hi, Jeff.
How's it going, guys?
Very good.
Jeff Probst, I got to tell you something. Last time you were on, you made the claim that this upcoming season, this season of Survivor, was going to be the greatest ever, and I chuckled under my breath, and I didn't believe you, sir, but you were absolutely correct.
Really?
What an amazing season this has been.
I love hearing that because I was, you know, I learned my lesson that I should not overpromise ever. I should just say.
You couldn't have overpromised what we've seen this season.
In this particular case, you were right.
Just tremendous. The last week's elimination, the tribal council was unbelievable. And then and then all the lunatics that you've had on the show this year has just been so entertaining.
Yeah, last week's tribal, man, you can't get enough of that. I mean, and when it flips and then everybody's talking and it was so well cut and you had 15 conversations and then those three guys in the back going, I'm not in trouble. You in trouble? No, I'm not in trouble. You in trouble? No, it was fun.
It's funny, too, that it's been, is this the 26th season, did you say?
26.
And wow. You're still seeing stuff for the first time.
Oh, yeah. And I think that we realized that, I don't know, quite a while ago, I guess, that even though the format's the same, something happens on day six, and it changes everything else that's going to happen, and you end up with this, you know, completely new season. Malcolm's played before, but he's never played this way.
Right.
Cochran's
yeah.
played before, but he didn't do it exactly the same. And plus, I think I'm really realizing kids, they are our future. Treat them well and let them...
What? What's happening right now?
But because a guy like Malcolm tells you the first day he's on the show, I think last year, he said, I was 10 when the show started.
Right. Yeah. Oh, wow.
And so we're in our second, you know, go-round.
Generation, right.
Yeah.
At the beginning, it was sort of fun to watch how there is actually a way to play, and there's, you know, people who think it through and have a strategy. Now everybody that comes on the game, I imagine, has that.
Well, Cochran's done papers on it in college.
Yeah, it depends. Cochran is a guy who, yeah, he studies the game, and what's great about having him on the show to be a commentator on it is that he's a fan. And he's an expert, so he can say, well, as a fan, this is absolutely fantastic.
Right.
As a player, this is a disaster.
Jeff, I know you see a fair amount of stuff with your own eyes when you're shooting it, but do you also see stuff that gets filmed that ends up not airing on my TV?
Not much.
No,
the only
interesting.
The only time we don't air something is because we just don't have time. In fact, we had a big... sort of summit yesterday at Burnett's house where we talked about creative for the show for next year. And we spent 6 hours just talking about Survivor, and what is our show, and what stories have we stopped telling that we should tell again, and where's the balance of our storytelling? And the one thing that came up is we never have enough time in an episode, and we're always cutting storylines that that are good, but you just don't have the
Well, time. I want to applaud you as a TV viewer. I want to applaud you for keeping that show an hour instead of going the bloated route that so many other shows have gone, Celebrity Apprentice and other shows that could be a good show if they weren't 2 hours. I was asking that question because I was thinking, like, when Philip gets booted, I'd love to hear more about what the other contestants have to say for real about him when he's gone. And you know, you guys are always on to the next thing.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, as much as anybody, that is CBS, because they're really good. I mean, they're fortunate in that they have a very strong schedule, and, you know, NBC maybe doesn't have that right now, so they're forced to expand shows.
I don't think anybody
wants to make, you know, The Apprentice 2 hours if it weakens a show, but a network has to do what they want. We've been lucky.
I'm just glad, Jeff, that you had time for us to watch Dawn try to find her teeth. That's all I cared about.
Did you have that conversation at Mark Burnett's house where we have to have a contestant each season that loses her teeth in the lake?
No, but I do remember calling Mark from location and saying, well, here's a first.
I thought I was watching Buck Wild for a minute.
She'll cry for any reason at all, Jeff. That was awesome.
I got to tell you guys, as an aside, there are two shows that I get people talk to me about. One is Stern. And that will be more national for if I go somewhere and go, I love hearing you on Stern or doing this Celebrity Superfan. And the other one is K-Rock. All day yesterday. I'm not exaggerating. It happened last time I was on. All day people go, dude, you're going to be on K-Rock.
Well,
in fact, I go to this gym and Doug Larson always talks about Ralph doing Gene Simmons. He'll go, he does the best Gene Simmons. And just walk, these guys that listen to you, it's got to feel good. They love you.
No one does a better Gene Simmons than Ralph.
Yeah. That's what I've been told, yes.
I'll tell you that.
Well, Jeff, you've always been very kind with your time. I don't want to turn this into a mutual admiration society, but you've been coming on our show since season one. And, you know, we have always appreciated whatever time you carve out for us because, you know, believe it or not, you know, a lot of people, they don't think about, you know, there are a certain number of people who don't think about Survivor that much. It's still a huge show year in, year out. There's very little on television that's more dependable in the ratings than Survivor.
No, Survivor's been, it's been good. It's been good to CBS. It's been good to me. I mean,
has there ever been a time where you thought seriously about leaving it behind, though, Jeff?
There was one point where I did, and it wasn't any contract thing. We had a really rough season in Samoa. Just a lot happened. We had this guy almost die. This passed out. This black guy,
right?
That you know had, and it was that. Russell is his name, and that really rocked me. And then there was a guy who was losing his mind and wanted to kill me. I mean, he was having a mental break. It was just one of those, and we had floods, and then there's a tsunami, and I thought, man, you know what? I think I need a break. And Les Moonves, I went and talked to him, and he was so cool, and he said, listen, you've been loyal to me, and I appreciate it. Take a minute, see if you're just tired, and if you're tired, we're fine, and if you're not, we'll figure it out. And it turns out I was just tired. And once I had a few weeks to just get home, and I know that probably sounds crazy, like how could you ever think of leaving Survivor? I was just tired for a minute, but yeah. I'm back, and I love this. Well, we have a kid's book, Stranded, that is New York Times bestseller, number one Scholastic selling book in schools for 8 to 12-year-olds. It is Survivor for kids. I'm fully into this show.
You're going to be doing this at retirement age. You're going to be 60, and you're going to be doing Survivor Philippines.
Isn't Survivor for the kids called Lord of the Flies, Jeff?
No, that's where they eat each other.
Yes,
it's actually Survivor.
Well, you never know. That hasn't happened yet.
Brandon Hans would have eaten someone if you'd left him in the show.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Well, after the craziest show ever last week, perhaps, Survivor Caramon is back Wednesday nights at 8 on CBS, the 26th season of Survivor. And our friend, the Emmy Award-winning host and producer, Jeff Probst. Always great to have you on the show, man. Have a great day. Thanks for the time.
Later.
Funny man Jay Moore joins us in about 10 minutes or so here on K-Rock. And then our friend Davey Havoc from AFI is back. He is an author now with an actual respectable real-life book. And we'll talk to him all about that starting at 8 o'clock this morning here on K-Rock. Kevin, you ever been to Iceland?
Nope.
Oh, it's the best.
Never have.
One of the most beautiful places in the world. I love it, love it, love it so much. Iceland was, it turns out, completely uninhabited until 874. That's when people started moving on to the rock.
Right.
And most people still, most people stay on Iceland. Most people marry other Icelanders. Therefore, essentially on a small island with only 320,000 people population-wise, everyone's kind of related to everybody else because they all kind of come from the same gene pool.
That's scary.
It is a little bit scary because they all look alike. So you meet people and you don't have any way of knowing what the background is. And that's why there is so much being made of this new app that is out that allows Icelanders to find out by holding their phones together whether they are in fact related to one another before they make the sexy time.
Here's a quote, and this is real. Everyone has heard the story of going to a family event and running into a girl you hooked up with some time ago.
Oh, damn. Oh, my God.
That seems bad.
So, the app of Icelanders is what it is called. That's how it translates into English. So we asked producer Dave, could you please find us more about this? And we have, I guess, a guest on the phone from the University of Iceland. He's a software engineering student named Arnar Fjær Adelsteinsson, and he is the creator of this app. I'm sure I didn't do your name any justice, sir, but thank you for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
No, you absolutely got this 100% correct.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow.
It's amazing. First time you did that. Most people don't have it.
Wow. Okay. Well, great. Well, this this app, I mean, we're describing it accurately, right? You literally, the two people will hold their phones together, and it will bump or beep or do something, let them know that they're, in fact, related, right?
Yes. As we say with the slogan for the app is, bump the app before you bump in bed.
Okay. Yeah.
Makes sense.
That's good.
You don't want to have having sex with, relative, first cousin or sister or brother or mother or father. Grandfather, grandmother.
Yeah. Well, I would hope some of those people.
Those possibilities.
I would hope some of those people you would recognize, though. It seems like you would know who they are. You would know what they look like.
Sure, but what if you're blind?
Well, I didn't think about that.
You didn't think about that, did you?
Didn't.
Smart American type people.
No, you're right.
Okay,
no.
Shut up.
You're totally right.
No, we're not mocking you. Look, this is your app. We just want to hear more about it.
We have a unique problem here in Iceland, so we have to come up with an app that is compatible with the population, since we're all sharing so many mutual ancestors.
All right, so I meet somebody in a bar, and I bump phones with them just to check the genealogy, just to make sure they're safe?
Right, so if, like, for instance, come here.
Who?
Norma, come here. It's my first cousin here, Norma. She works with me.
Okay.
We bump our phones together, and you get that sound. So it says, don't have sex with this person.
Oh, that's the warning that they're related to you somehow?
Yeah, they're first cousins or more.
Okay.
So related.
All right. Okay. What if they're not first cousins? What if they're second cousins?
No, beep. You just go bang, bang, bang.
Okay. Oh, second cousins are okay then.
Knock the hell out of the bottom of them.
It is interesting, Mr. Adelsteinsson, that so many people in Iceland marry other Icelanders. There's very little interaction with the bloodlines from other countries in the world, and I think that's rare.
It is rare. It's almost unheard of anywhere else in the world. But it turns out that we're really good-looking people.
Yeah, well.
And most of you are really ugly.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So we like to stay amongst ourselves. And also, we are sort of isolated here in Iceland, so not many people, except for visiting and vacationing, don't come for, to live in Iceland.
Right.
Yeah, very few people move to the island. I understand
what
that.
What if it's
your
first cousin, but she's really hot?
And then we also have another app.
Okay.
Where, you hit it and your phone just gets turned off. It's called the power button, and I think it's going to catch on very much. And also, so you also can record, look up over the night that you just had last night. You look at the phone, and it'll tell you of people you encountered, how many were the people you were related to.
Oh, no kidding.
So I'm just going to look over my list from last night. Okay. I had a sex with an older woman last night. I wanted to see if. Oh no.
That's the bad sound, right?
Oh, that's the bad sound.
That means you shouldn't have done that, I guess.
I should not have done that.
Oh, no. Oh another one. Wow, what a night.
That was a big night for me.
No kidding.
And
a bad night for you.
Oh, that can't be. That's not good.
Wow.
Oh, Lord.
You scored.
Yeah. I did very well.
You must be exhausted.
Those are all my aunts now.
No.
That's not so good.
No.
Oh, no. No. Things were going fine. What happened?
A lot of salmon.
Comedian Jay Moore on the phone right now here on the Kevin Amin Show and on stage at the Hollywood Improv tonight at 8 o'clock. Go see Jay Moore with special guests opening Jim Florentine and Skylar Stone. Mr. Moore, how are you, sir?
Hi, Moore. As Al Pacino would say, you're looking good. First
Jay,
I played Joe Paterno. Then I played Dr. Death. And now I'm going to play, you guessed it. You know who I'm going to play next, Kevin?
I don't know who you're going to play next.
I'm going to play, well, I already did, I played Phil Spector, but I forgot.
Right. Al plays a lot of real guys these days, doesn't he?
Yeah, she had to die. She said my wall of sound was no good. Bang, bang, you're dead.
Hey, Jay Morris, I had a question for you, sir.
Yes, sir.
I didn't have a chance to listen. I have it all teed up and ready to go. But you had your old friend, Hollywood treasure Jerry O'Connell, on the podcast from the Fake Mustache Studios the other day. And what's the story? You guys go back a million years, you and that young man? What's the deal?
Yeah, Jerry was always a really sweet kid. And he's so showbiz, people don't realize. He wants to act like the everyman. But he was a fat kid in Stand By Me.
Right.
And
right.
Now he has manorexia in Crossing Jordan. which we joke about. But him and I go back to, like, when I was 19. He was with me on the set of a show called Camp Wilder when I had my 20th birthday. So he knew me when I was at my absolute craziest. And then he admitted on the podcast he thought that I was on steroids.
No, no kidding.
He thought I had roid rage.
Did you?
I said, yeah.
Did you and were you?
No, I was just an a-hole.
Okay. Well, some things don't change.
I used to drink a lot of beer and yell at people close to their face.
Jay, are you a guy who worked in a lot of jobs coming up that we don't know about because you weren't famous yet and it took a while to kind of break through, or did it happen kind of fast for you in Hollywood?
I got a job quickly, but things that are quickly forgotten, like lip service, MTV, a lip sync game show.
You were on that?
I hosted it. That was my first job. I was 19.
No way!
And then right after that, I did Camp Wilder, a sitcom that went 1 year and out. It was part of the TGIF package with Step by Step and Urkel.
Right.
And then I would do all like the wraparounds for the extra money, like, hey, stay tuned, everybody. I'm Jay Moore. Everything's wacky and great. And then, you know, Saturday Night Live at 23. And then I left Saturday Night Live to the Jeff Foxworthy show, where I played his crazy brother, Wayne, and then right from that to Jerry Maguire. So, yeah, I had a bunch of gigs early that nobody saw, and a lot of gigs late that nobody saw, I might add. I don't think too many people lined up for Pluto Nash, speaking of sex or seeing other people. But seeing other people, that's their loss.
Is it true that you have a new series coming to TV Land soon that I'm starting to read about in the trades?
It's news to me. I shot a pilot for them 2 years ago that did not get picked up, which is always good for the ego when they go, no, you know what, we're going to stick with Betty White. We were thinking about giving you a show, but we think we're going to ride this 90-year-old into the ground like Nancy Sinatra rode Sinatra until he died because she didn't want him in the house.
Right.
That's why those old guys keep going. Like, you go, why is Tony Bennett still on the road? Why doesn't he enjoy his life? Because they cat around for 50 years, and then when they want to retire, the wives go, back out on the streets, buddy. You're not messing up my Mahjong party. But I want to come home and be with my family. Beat it. Take your colostomy bag and sing somewhere else.
Well, look, they can't. Nobody can stop you from going up on stage, like at the Hollywood Improv tonight, with just you and a microphone and making funny, though. That's something that's out of their control. Hollywood can't ruin that for you, Jay Moore.
Yeah, we're going to get everybody pregnant. I've been doing an hour of new material working on my new special, which I think might simply be called Circles because of the amount of callbacks in it.
An hour? How long does that take you to put together, an hour of new material?
I fall asleep on an airplane, and my wife hands me a notebook filled with stuff, so it took me very little time.
Wow.
My wife wrote, how much of it? I would say, out of the hour, my wife wrote an hour.
Really?
Wow.
But it's similar things that we complain about, and the big threat is you don't have to have a lot in common to be happily married. You have to have similar hates.
Right.
That's really...
Oh, that's a good point.
If you hate the same things, then it works out.
Like, we both hate that creepy couple on House Hunters that talk about this would be a good room for entertaining. Have you ever noticed the grosser the couple, the more they talk about it? Always like a guy with a leather vest, no shirt on underneath, and his nipples are way too big. The lady looks like Mrs. Roper from Three's Company, and they're like, during the day we teach magic, and at night we make dream catchers and sell them online. This would be excellent for entertaining.
Yeah, well, and entertaining is in quotes, and you don't want to know what it really means.
I hope it's a gated community, because people are going to be hopping the wall to party with you, creep. My wife, that's what we call sex, and our privates is our entertainment center.
Oh, I like it.
Sometimes
I see, I like
she
it.
Will, sometimes she just entertains me. Other times, I will just entertain her, not as often, but once in a while.
Not nearly
understood.
As often.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because that's not as much fun. So I picture you as a guy who's completely content just being at home with the television set.
I only get about, I would say, 2 hours of TV in before I pass out. So I'm either watching, like, Gigolos, House Hunters. I love Dateline ID. White women get murdered a lot, I've learned from watching Dateline.
That's the spinoff series. That's what they're calling that.
No Latinas, no blacks, no Filipinos, just all white women. And whenever you get murdered, all your friends pile into your living room and say, Patty, she just lit up a room. And you're like, you know, there's pictures of Patty behind you. Patty's a five top. Patty has a crooked tooth and crunchy bangs. Let's not rewrite history. If she was so bright, how come she couldn't outrun a hammer? I said that like Norm, you know. Hey, Patty, so bright there. She could outrun a hammer. Ah, my God, Patty.
But Patty was a hell of an entertainer, though, I'll tell you that. She knew how
she
to entertain.
Really entertain. Oh, they always, this is the other thing, Kevin and Bean and Lisa and everyone else. They always go, no one had anything bad to say about her. And I'm always like, really? Because by my math, there's one guy. You got to at least add one guy. And words right. didn't work. He needed time and tools.
It was the guy with the hammer?
Exactly. He was sick and tired of Patty lighting up a room. I said that like Harvey Keitel. She
tickets.
Can light up the room no longer.
Tickets are only $20, 18 and over at the Hollywood Improv. I swear to you, you'll never have a better time than seeing Jay Moore on stage
tonight.
At the Hollywood Improv.
That's tonight.
Yeah,
tonight at 8 o'clock.
Let's do it. Oh, by the way, real quick, free Moore Stories t-shirts. If you go to the box office and say, I'm Moore-ier, she will hand you a t-shirt for free.
Fantastic.
So you're getting like $50 of, I don't know. It's you know what? It's... Who knows? It's priceless, the amount of fun you're going to have tonight. And who
exactly.
Who knows what celebrities will show up? Last week, Ronda Rousey. Week before, NASCAR champion Kyle Busch. James Franco. Who knows?
Wow. How about that? All right. HollywoodImprov.com. Tonight at 8 o'clock. And don't miss Jay Moore on the radio in about an hour and 15 minutes, too. He'll be doing his sports radio show as well. Jay, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
I love you guys.
By the way, tomorrow morning right here on the world famous K-Rock, how about Mr. William Shatner joining us on the program?
Yes. I'll be on the show.
How about Chris and Ben from Soundgarden in studio, not only for an interview, but performing live. Zach Braff makes a return appearance on the program. And Ralph, this one just for you. Your friend Rich Eisen, talking NFL draft, is going to be with us tomorrow from the NFL Network.
Can't wait for the draft.
That is that's a lot of show tomorrow still to come today. Depeche Mode tickets and our friend Davey Havoc. Author Davey Havoc. You may know him as AFI's Davey Havoc, but he does it all. He's joining us in studio coming up next. Right now, Ralph's got the Showbiz Beat. Good morning.
It is Tuesday. That means new CDs and DVDs are available for your entertainment enjoyment. Here's what's available. On DVD, you can check out Gangster Squad with Josh Brolin, Ryan Gosling, Sean Penn, and Nick Nolte. I've been meaning to catch up with that, so I'm looking forward to getting that on DVD. The Impossible, starring Naomi Watts and Ewan McGregor. It's a horribly depressing tale of a tsunami and the family that's torn apart by it. It's called The Impossible because it is impossible to watch without killing yourself. So maybe
and everybody says that Naomi and Ewan McGregor, it's Ewan McGregor plays her husband, right?
Yes.
Are brilliant in it, but you're just so devastated you never want to think about it again after you see it.
Promised Land with Matt Damon and John Krasinski. That's the fracking movie. You can check that out. A Haunted House with Marlon Wayans and Cedric the Entertainer.
Nope.
That's a fracking movie too, right there. Frack that movie. Jurassic Park 3D. You can check that out on Blu-ray. And DVD, if you have 3D goggles that you can put on. New CDs as well. To Be Loved by Michael Bublé. Got to pick up the new Bublé, right? Everybody with me?
Y'all? No.
I'm with you.
I'm not.
I like Michael Bublé a lot.
Are you all Bublievers?
Venus.
I'm not sure that's a thing, but okay.
I don't like Michael Bublé. I was just kidding.
Okay, good.
But figures.
Yeah, Bean was serious.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
You know
yeah.
this guy? Look at me. Look at him gesturing.
Yeah,
this
you're
guy?
Gesturing your
know
head like you're talking about Bean.
Like this guy?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
This one. This over here. This
yes.
guy. All right.
Bean.
A venomous rat regeneration vendor by Rob Zombie.
Heard that.
Like
that's
that.
Good.
I like that, too.
Yeah. And Bankrupt, new music by Phoenix, also drops today. You want to hear some new Phoenix? We had a couple tracks if you want to hear a little
sure.
taste. Phoenix, the new CD is called Bankrupt. Here's a little track called Entertainment.
Entertainment, show them what you do with me. Everyone
good track.
That is an entertaining band.
They sure are. How about another track called Trying to Be Cool?
Too much intention, Presbyterian. Then Julep, testosterone.
Another life and time, they would have opened up for Duran Duran at some point.
Yes,
yes,
yeah.
Very 80s.
I
absolutely.
Love that vibe you get off of them. And lastly, here's a new track as well called Dracar Noir.
Kill the head on the spear.
No,
kill the nail on the cross.
That is not that.
Oh,
it is not.
In the
Well, they made the
say
the
bone,
kids.
Phoenix.
They made everybody happy at Coachella. Their appearance very well received.
Oui, oui.
That'd be great.
Oui.
Even when they played the side stage, they would pull all the people from the main stage over.
Uh-huh. Croissant baguette.
You know you're not speaking French, right?
Si, si, beret.
That's not French.
Oh, merci, Marquis de Sade. Champs-Élysées. What I have to say to Phoenix.
You're out now. That's every French word you know, right?
Pretty much. Finally, we get the movie we've been waiting for. The Dodgeball sequel is on track.
Dodgeball. Wait, there was a Dodgeball movie?
Vince Vaughn, Ben
How
Stiller.
How dare
hello.
You? That was a classic. Oh.
Dodgeball.
Okay. All right, sorry, I missed that one.
It was a classic in my circles.
It was a classic in everybody's
okay,
circles,
good,
except
good.
For Beans, apparently. Awesome movie.
Okay.
You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. those words were spoken.
Well, thank God it has a sequel then.
You're an idiot.
Because I'm sure there's lots more drama in the dodgeball
that
world that wasn't
was
covered
awesome.
In one
he
movie.
He had to win his gym back, Bean. Do you not know anything?
My milkshake brings
not.
All the boys to the yard. Remember that at the ending? The post-credit sequence with Ben Stiller and he gets all fat? You can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
He would throw wrenches at him, Bean.
Okay.
You don't.
So what are they going to do in the sequel then?
Shut up.
What's left
I'm
once
not
you burn your hilarious
the
wrench comedy? I am not going to throw these pearls before that swine.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Yes, you are. Thank you for finally acknowledging that.
That's who's true. In the sequel?
Vince Vaughn and Ben Stiller.
Oh, they're both back. Okay. I thought they were doing better than that.
I'm excited. When's that come out?
They're just working on
oh,
the script
just
now,
to work
but
on
they've
it.
Got confirmation that Vince and Ben are both involved. The original made over $114 million in North America alone.
Wow.
So that's why they're doing another one. I'm looking forward to it personally.
Me too.
I love that movie. It made me laugh hard.
Me too.
Rip Torn, remember, is the old dodgeball
sure.
man?
Yeah.
Hey, Snotty, what's going on with you?
Dodgeball.
You
don't know anything, man.
You weren't there.
I don't know
you
anything.
Don't know, man.
I wasn't there.
You weren't there. Today's celebrity birthdays, Dev Patel is 23 years old today. Cal Penn is 36. He'll be joining us, by the way, on Thursday in studio. George Lopez is 52. Valerie Bertinelli celebrates her 53rd birthday. Michael Moore is 59. Joyce DeWitt of Three's Company fame is 64. And Lee Majors, of course, Steve Austin, the $6 million man. We were saying, I told you, it was bugging me. I know I had just seen him on something. He plays the father to the one of the lead characters on Raising Hope. He's been on Narcos Raising Hope. He's been on that show.
Don't watch.
Yeah, very funny show, and I knew I saw him.
They play dodgeball on that show?
You know what?
F you.
F you, indeed.
You don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know,
about.
Man. You weren't there. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
I'm a little worried about this, Kevin. I got to be honest.
Why?
I'm a little... Well, the policy of this program for so many years has been reading is for losers. And now we got a guy like Davey who we love who's written a book. And now what do we do? Now I feel like we have to read a book, you know?
Bean, you don't have to.
Oh, oh, thank God. There you go. The pressure's off.
Davey says you don't have to read it.
You don't have to read it. I could come read it to you if you like.
Ladies and gentlemen, Davey Havoc in studio here on the Kevin Bean Show, of course.
Thanks, Bean.
He is the author of a new book called Pop Kids, and if you recognize the name, yeah, he's the AFI guy as well. So he does it all. So and dapper in a suit today. You look good.
He
you
does.
Smell good.
Thank you very much.
You're bringing it, man.
And you just told us that this is your bedtime.
Normally. Yeah, this is far closer to my bedtime than it is my waking hour. But
we apologize for that.
No, you got me green juice.
We did get you green
juice. I was promised whiskey and speed, but you got me
green juice. In my defense, it was coffee and meth.
No, it wasn't you.
Oh,
it was Christine.
Oh.
She's like, if you come to the show, we've got Jim Beam and Beam and Crystal. See, I can't even I can't even pronounce.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the whiskey is called. That's how.
That's all right. We try to accommodate.
Fraud, so I am.
Take me back to the beginning, because everybody grows up and they see that books are a thing that exists, but very few of us ever get to the point where we think that, hey, I could write one of those, because it looks like a lot of work. How early in your life did you ever start thinking about writing a book?
Really, in high school, it was something that crossed my mind quite a few times.
You write lyrics.
I do.
Already.
It's a different thing, though, Kevin.
Yeah.
It's.
But I know, but it's sort of tangentially related?
I mean, absolutely, that it is creative writing in a sense. The huge difference for me in writing a book as far as the perspective goes and the experience went, when you bring it down to the artistic element of it, is that in writing lyrics, I'm always writing from it's me. It's
right.
My voice.
Right.
And in writing a book, you're taking on the voice of a different character.
Was it harder than you thought it would be, or easier, or the same?
Well, it's hard to say. It just depends on whether or not you think the book is good when you come down to that question. Like,
right.
I'm happy with it. It wasn't it was a very, very enjoyable process for me. I'd never done it before, and it really wasn't until when I was really young, I'd wanted to write a book, and I never had an idea for a narrative. It was the novel that always appealed to me, and I don't have any expertise in any nonfiction area
right.
that would allow me to write nonfiction,
right.
unless I wrote about myself, which would be boring.
I'm, to you.
To me. And I think to anybody who read it, I think it would destroy a lot of fantasies about how interesting my life is.
Do you read a lot?
I do. Not when I'm writing. I should read more when I'm writing, but I found that I just didn't have time to read anything else while I was writing, and it would distract me from focusing on the characters in the
narrative. How long does it take? Because I feel like I'd start writing something, and I'd get a half hour in, and then start playing PlayStation.
Yeah, it's
you know what I mean. Like,
it's difficult to have a flow if you step away from it. And I learned that. I started writing the novel in the fall of 2008 and didn't finish until the fall of 2011, around the time, shortly after
wow.
I was doing American Idiot. But that's because at first I didn't have the time to focus on it that I needed to complete it. It was around the time that that we were writing the AFI record Crash Love that I began writing it. And a lot of the themes paralleled. It wasn't a conscious thing that I planned on, but they did. And because of that and because of touring in that record, I didn't have time to focus until I got back from the road. And it was when I sat there for a year straight and I really wrote from – I would get up in the afternoon, as I'm
sure.
wont to do. And
like any normal person would,
like,
if they could.
Yes, like anybody.
If
you know,
could, we would.
The members of AFI really don't. It blows my mind.
Is that right?
They are early risers and have been for years and years and years.
So they sit around a lot of days waiting till 2 p.m. so they can wake you up.
Yes, usually. In my bedroom, staring at me, poking me. Get up.
So we're going to talk about what the book is all about, because I think it's a fascinating theme here in a minute. But I want to get back to the writing process. So did you treat it like a job, like you punched in and every day you said, all right, today I'm going to sit here for 6 hours or 8 hours, whatever block of time you carved out?
I do. It wouldn't be page goals. I wouldn't need that. But yeah, in a sense, I do treat it like a job. And actually, most of the stuff that I create, it's the same process where get up, do this. We're doing this for a day. We're doing this for hours. With the book, it was more difficult for me to step away from it, because I'd become so absorbed with writing it and the narrative and the characters, and really it would start to write itself, and I'd feel a need to be there to continue it, to get those ideas out on paper. But it was something that I would do every day for about a year after I'd come home from the gym. I'd sit down in around 2 or 3, and then sometimes I have to turn myself away at dawn.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's dedication.
It was really fun for me.
Who helped you? Did you have either an editor for the company that you were writing the book for, or did you have somebody that would read it for you and give you notes?
I had so much help. Like I mentioned, I'd never written before, so I really didn't know what I was doing. And the first version that I thought was the final version of this was in a format that had nothing to do with a novel. It was formatted terribly. I had just sat down at my Mac and opened, I think, TextEdit.
Right.
Just to show how lost I am.
Right.
That is not what you do.
Right.
And I wrote single spaced, and I wrote and wrote, and I edited it down a few times, like maybe five or six times, and I said, oh, here's the book. And
nailed
I handed it.
It
to a few of my dear, dear friends who were punished with reading what turned out to be about 600 pages.
Wow. Now, how many different editions later?
Edits later?
Yeah.
Many, many, many. It was really, While I was in New York doing American Idiot, I was in the Broadway show American Idiot for a little while. And while I was there, I was editing it down. That's a hard word to say. And I took about 340 pages out of it.
Is that difficult?
Did that hurt?
Yeah,
did it feel like you were taking an arm off?
It did. It was difficult. But as I got into the process, and I had a friend whose help with that was just invaluable, who showed me how to edit and you know, the process of deciding what a chapter needed or didn't need in characters and where they should appear. And
that's interesting.
It was a great process, and it was such a great learning experience.
Who first told you that text edit is not the way to go?
it was one of my author friends was like, no, like, here, let's do it this different way. And you know, so many people, friends and family, my poor brother and cousin were with me every step of the way, and very, very encouraging, and they had to hear me talk about it every day, all day, and the characters and their growth, and it was really
nice.
Did you
already have someone who had agreed to put it out, or did you have to finish the book and then go sell it?
No, I actually didn't speak of it until I was done, except within really closed inner circles. Yeah, I didn't want anyone to know about it because it was the first book I had written, and I didn't want any pressure coming from the direction.
And what if you didn't finish it? And then you know, people would always be asking you questions.
Yeah,
about
and
it,
then you just feel even worse about it, right? You know, worse about yourself. You know,
what about that book? I never finished.
I didn't finish it.
So when you finished it, then did you shop it around? Or,
yeah,
or?
I shopped it around a little bit. I had an agent for a while, and he shopped it around, and I got some like weird offers that were bad and good offers that were weird, and so I wasn't really feeling that, and I decided to just put it out myself because we are of an age where that is a viable means of getting
your
art out
there.
Yeah, you could do it, and then I had complete control over what I was writing and how I was promoting it. And
oh, that's nice.
And that's what I did. So my partner Danny, who has worked with me in the past on clothing lines, who is a genius. I mean, the man, he can build a house, he can draw, he's a he's an engineer.
He's an overachiever.
He really is.
Makes me feel bad about myself.
It's me too. Oh, he makes me feel terrible about myself. So I said to him, hey, do you want to publish my book? Do you want to do this for me? Yes. Yeah, I mean, he is helping. So he does. He is my publisher. And my friend Roger Gassman, who has put out book after book for years, who worked with Shepard Fairey, did a magazine called Swindle, and did the Art in the Street show. He was very, very helpful in the physical creation of the book and giving.
So, are you happy with it now? When you hold it in your hands, is it everything you hoped it would be?
Doesn't it feel good being?
It does.
It does, right? I am so happy. Yeah, it was a surreal moment when I first got the physical copy.
I love that you still call it your first book, as if you'll ever have the strength to write another one.
I am. I've been well into the second for a while. I've been.
You're not supposed to mention it in case you don't finish.
Well, I'm going to finish, Kevin. I'm going
to
finish.
We have to take a break. Dave, you have a Gazette studio with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. We're going to come back and talk about the book, which is called Pop Kids, by the way. It is available paperback, digital download at popkidsbook.com. You can also get it through Amazon or all fine booksellers. When we come back, we're going to hear about the story of a pop culture obsessed, pseudo vegetarian, atheist pyromaniac trapped within a rural California town longing to escape for a city life of fame and fortune. Woo! That's what Pop Kids is all about. We'll be back after this on K-Rock. Fashion and jewelry designer, also actor, writer, musician, singer, author, Davey Havoc. The man does it all, and he's in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, the book is called Pop Kids. It's out everywhere now, and I'm so fascinated with the storyline because it's about teenagers, young people, and their obsession with fame and their interaction with the media and the world. And I was thinking, Davey, that even you, a young man yourself in your 30s, it's completely different being 16 now than it was when you were 16.
It's markedly different. That's really the impact that that has had on me, the shift in culture that occurred upon the inception of the internet, mm-hmm. and then later the proliferation of social networking and mm-hmm. reality television. I mean, the divide is so stark that eventually I was hit with this narrative about this story to kind of illustrate, you know, culturally that disparity that you see as a result of that media. And you know, it was an interesting balance to write within the first person of that character, to create, to attempt to create a protagonist who is a teenager, who both has that quality of youth that is you know, a constant, you know, throughout cultural shifts, that need to you know, discover who you are, while coupled with having a part of him and a part of his community being so adult as a result of all the information that they have access to.
Bombarded with that, you know,
that they can't avoid, and that input really, really molds, you know, the values and the perception and the ambitions or lack thereof of a culture when you're raised with it, when there isn't a time in your life that you don't have access to all media.
And it's hard to find another 10-year period that was that life-changing.
It really is. I mean, the era that we live in is
so wild. For anyone who would say, oh, this is so autobiographical, it couldn't be, because this none of this existed when you were coming up. And what does it do? And I'm sure you've researched this, and I see, you know, from what the parts that I've read about mm-hmm. the story of Score Massey, who's mm-hmm. almost 18 in your book, mm-hmm. what does it do for somebody that age to grow up in an era where the kids on Buck Wild get famous overnight, or Jersey Shore, or Teen Mom, or something like that? And it's so within reach, it feels like everybody deserves it.
I mean, that's just the point. There's an entitlement and a narcissism that's infused in a lot of culture as a result of that. And it really, the cult of celebrity, which is something that has, you know, been with us culturally for a while, and, you know, in postmodern culture, has really accelerated at this point, as celebrity has been shifting towards something that can be achieved without actually having to create something or work at something, or even worse, so it can be achieved by doing something negative.
Right.
And as well, the media has furthered celebrity and the power of celebrity and the seeming value of celebrity by way of the proliferation of more media as well. So the strength has grown and the substance has weakened.
Yeah, the worse Kim Kardashian is, the more she gets coverage.
Exactly.
Now, is part of the reason you were attracted to this story is as kind of a pushback to that, or are you making some sort of a statement that you disapprove of that or disagree with the way it's going?
I mean, not necessarily. I really hope that people take the book as they want to take it. I think that depending where you are culturally, you could read the book and you could take different things from it. For me, it's more highlighting a culture and a circumstance than it is making a direct commentary on it. Obviously, being a thoughtful person and being conscious of the situation, I have my own opinions on it, but I'd like the book to stand on its own for people to take with it from their will and recognize it's more of a spotlight.
Did you at some point start realizing that was getting into it and then pull it back out?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was hard. It was something to do with the character where I would infuse myself in the character and say, no, that's me. I have to take it back out.
Right.
And you know, there are a lot of people. Being you pointed out that a lot of people might look at it and see, you know, an autobiographical element to it, but really the parts of the protagonist that people see parallels with me are truly just a facade of the character. I mean, it's just pretense for him. And if you look further into the book, you can see that pretense crumble as you get more insight into his true self, or lack thereof.
So give folks just the briefest of overview. What happens to Score in the book Pop Kids?
I don't really want to ruin the plot, but the young man starts throwing underground parties for his friends that really spiral out of control. And as his fame grows, he begins to collapse, and he's on a struggle to, you know, possibly find himself and something real, and it's coupled with this greater desire to have this sort of fame, whether it be on a local level or on a global level, and it's a struggle for him, and that's what goes on in the
story. I start a lot of books. I don't get to the end of many of them, but yours at the end has a soundtrack.
It does.
I don't know how many books have soundtracks.
There is. Being that the book is called Pop Kids and the characters of the novels are very pop-obsessed, and the book is filled with pop references. There's video games and fashion and television and social media and music. And the characters of the novel have a wide array of music that they will accept because none of them are really deeply into any one thing. And so in the back of the book, there is
what a varied list of music.
There's a book list. So any song that's referenced in the book, whether directly or subtly, you can go to the back of the book and see exactly what the song is, who the artist is. And so there's a book track that you
could. That's cool.
And I actually heard someone told me that they would listen along. They pulled it out and made a playlist, and when it hit, they would listen.
Kidding. Wow. I don't know that I could take more time to read a book.
I know, right? It really slows it down.
Did you get sad when you were researching the book for accuracy to realize how little porn there was available for you when you were a teenager compared to today?
It was really heartbreaking. I mean, we really had to struggle to get our
porn. It was hard work.
I mean, but it made it so much more exciting.
It did make it exciting, yeah.
It was
Sears catalogs only came once a month.
But the grandparents just had stacks of them from the 20s. The lingerie was just less titillating then, though, you know?
All right. How are we doing on time here,
Kevin?
Is Davey sticking around? We're going to do one more?
I'd love to be here.
Let's do one more.
Thank you.
Fantastic. The book is called Pop Kids from Davey Havoc. Again, it's available in paperback and digital download at popkidsbook.com. You can also get it on amazon.com. We'll talk more with Davey after this on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Spiteful trees.
What the F? Good question. What the F, Davey Havoc?
I'm upset.
To stir the gale in me. It whispers through forgotten beans.
Pretty sure you've forgotten beans?
No, he's right here.
American Horror Story there for a minute.
And then there's the band.
Can you see? I can't see it.
In your mind. Use your mind, your imagination.
I have no creative. I can't imagine things anymore.
It's too dangerous.
It's too dangerous.
Too dangerous and too early.
What kind of a teaser is that?
It's too
God's sakes. What's happening here?
Who can say, really?
Well, we thought maybe you,
we were hoping
of all people.
You because we don't know.
I didn't even know it was there.
You're such a liar.
I didn't even know there was a camera on.
Right. That's just
I thought I was going shopping. What a disappointment.
You were not in a store.
Yeah, I know. That was the whole rub.
I see.
I thought it was one of those cool new boutiques that, you know, it's like, oh, there's a staircase.
Now, I know that you may not want to answer, but AFI.
Yeah.
In September.
It's a thing.
I didn't even see that. Someone said to me, there's a video in September. I'm like, what about September?
Wait, you didn't put that up?
I don't pay attention to what's going on.
You should. Kev.
I guess maybe. So.
It says September 2013.
What else?
That's it. That's it.
We thought maybe you'd fill in some of the blanks at this point.
You guys.
Rather than us telling you what you're doing.
I explained to you I haven't slept in 2 days,
yes,
right?
Yes, you did explain that, yeah.
Being very coy.
New album.
You're allowed.
In September.
You're allowed.
A new song or a new album? Tell us that.
Like I said, I was expecting to see Rick Owens and Andy Muehlmeister. And then all of a sudden, men with instruments. And what do you do?
He's not going to answer.
No. He's allowed. He's mysterious. He's allowed to be mysterious. Hey, Davey, what are the expectations these days as we talk about your book, Pop Kids, available now? What are the expectations for book sales these days? Are you running into the same – are you finding out that you've missed the golden age of publishing like artists today have missed the golden age of selling records?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, the effect that that – ironically, media has had on books is the same that it's had on music for the most part. That's, you know, trickling into to film, not yet video games. I think a little bit. I suppose video game designers would be able to tell you more. But that's something that I knew going into it. And I was wildly thrilled with the response that that I got for
You didn't write it to make money. You wrote it for creative outlet.
Oh,
right?
Yeah, by no means.
It's got to be super frustrating, whether you're doing an album or you're writing a book or whatever. We had another artist in here that I don't want to name, but he was complaining off the air, which is why I don't want to name him, saying that people can get my album for the cost of a cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah, free.
It's sort of a bummer.
I mean, coffee's more expensive. You have to pay for it.
Because you put so much of your life into it.
It is. It's such an interesting shift. And for me, I feel that I'm a little bit better equipped than some people to deal with that, emotionally speaking, because much like the book Pop Kids, music, I started doing it because I love it and because I have to. And more pointedly, there was no expectation of being able to support myself off of making music. Quite the opposite. It was really when I decided to issue everything else in my life, as the rest of the members of AFI did. We were making a conscious decision to, you know, not have a house, not have, you know, a family, not have a place to live.
Worst case scenario may happen.
Well, we were really counting on it. I mean, the type of music that that AFI played when we began wasn't viable. I mean, there was no chance that what we were doing artistically could result in any sort of monetary compensation.
Right.
None whatsoever. And then you know, years and years and years went by, and we artistically grew, and culture shifted in a way that it leaned towards us. And, you know, we were lucky enough to be able to live off of what we did. And
was there a moment when you went, wow, I'm actually going to make money at doing this thing I love that I thought I never would?
It was slow. There wasn't a striking moment. It was slowly where it's like, wow, I can afford to. I can afford to eat more than rice. And I mean, I remember it was such a big deal to us when we were traveling on the road and our per diems went from $5 to $7 a day.
That was a biggie right there.
Oh, it was huge.
Oh, my God.
What are you going to do with your extra $2?
I mean, eat.
Wow.
But it resulted in, you know, more. And being vegan at the time was pretty difficult. So I don't even want to say what we ate.
It's not the cheapest way to live.
No.
It's not. And there wasn't very much available. Like when you're traveling through the country in a van and you're vegan, I mean, it's a lot of there was a certain fast food restaurant. I don't even want to talk about it because I don't want to promote it in any way. But back then there was one thing that you could get but there would be deserts, and I mean that figuratively, where this fast food restaurant only existed on the coast, and so you'd go through the country and you like can't eat, and you'd just be eating nuts from gas stations and such.
Dirt,
twigs, a lot of ice. Still, and I've also kind of shifted back to that. Much like culture has shifted back to a place where now we're moving towards, if you play distorted guitars, you are on the $5 per diem.
Right.
You know, my diet has gone so far extreme. That
well, that's how you kept your girlish figure all these years.
Thank you. Yeah, I tried. That's the thing.
You never went through the fat phase.
I did early on. Long before I was in the public eye, I was squishy a little bit, and now I really make an effort to be as healthy as
I like
I
that you don't you're not judgmental.
That's very kind of you to say.
There are a lot of people who are vegan or whatever who are look down their nose at you.
Yeah, I mean, we're not that close. You would see me as a horrible person. I think I think I appreciate that perspective. I like that you said
because
that.
I'm not a good friend of yours. I don't see you as judgmental.
You haven't eaten in front of him.
that's actually not true. I will. I do. People. It's really. It's so kind of people when they say to me. I get it a lot. Like, is it okay? Like, can I eat this in front of you?
Yeah. Right.
And that's really nice. Like, yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
You know.
You're not gonna.
I'm not gonna eat it.
Take it and throw it away.
Yeah. I'm
away
not gonna throw it against the wall. but I mean, truly, it is what. And in those experiences, when people say that, I have become so sensitive to it that when it happens, I will. It does make me cringe a little bit when I see when right. I see someone eating like a carcass in front of me, and I, you know, I don't.
Do they eat actual carcasses in front of you?
I've seen it. Yeah.
You have.
Yeah, people do it all the time. Wow. Most of the world will take a carcass and.
That seems bad.
It is
that
bad.
Seems bad even for somebody who eats meat.
It is. It is. Well, that's what meat is. That's what meat
no,
is.
No, I know. I'm aware, but they make it look better.
They do, right? It's the language. Well, it's all in the language.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we are out of time, and it always goes by so fast whenever you stop in to see us, but we always enjoy the time so much, Davey.
Thank you so much for having
and
me,
we're
guys.
Very
it was a pleasure.
Hey, there's one question. It may be a ridiculous question, but I should ask because, you know, the book is doing well. It's popular. Do you ever think in terms of turning this into some other kind of media, make it into a TV or movie or something like that?
I do. I'd love to. And I've been talking with a few people about it. As much as we're talking, really. I mean, nothing
right.
that is, has gone
just
any
wouldn't it be cool
that.
If,
but,
right?
Yeah, generally. Maybe a little more than that. But it's something that I would be thrilled about seeing Pop Kids made into a film or a series. Some of my...
Because you're such a visual guy. I'm sure you were seeing the movie in your mind as you were writing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And the backstories and the follow-ups. And
now, one last question for me, and that is, when nothing happens in September, can you come back in?
I'd love to.
Okay, good.
I'd love
well,
to.
Well, he'll have plenty of time, won't he, Kevin?
Thank you.
Pop Kids, thank available you. In paperback and digital download at popkidsbook.com and at amazon.com. Davey Havoc, everybody.
Yeah.
Thanks, Davey.
Thank you.
Depeche Mode at the Troubadour is all anyone is talking about here at K-Rock.
And, Depeche Mode? Depeche Mode? Is that what you
nope,
said?
Not
you
today, Mr. Pesci.
You.
Not today. I'm sorry. But as long as your name's not Jenny, give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We are looking for Depeche Mode fans.
Poor
you
Jenny.
Love this band. You know their music. You have a chance to win your way in. It's going to be the first of the tickets that we're giving away here on K-Rock today. Every 30 minutes from now until 8 o'clock tonight, you can win those tickets. But you can earn them right now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play the game in about 10 minutes. Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
But keep in mind, you may win the game and earn the tickets, and still Bean won't give them to you. Just keep that in mind.
Bean is a bad man.
You have to make sure that you understand that possibility before you play any of our games. Depends on his whim. Depends on which one of his friends he wants to slant the game towards. That's how it works. Oh, Khloe.
Kardashian?
Khloe, we're going to miss you. Yeah, sure. It was officially made public yesterday by Fox that she indeed will not be returning to host the X Factor.
I thought that was... made public 6 months ago.
Well, it wasn't official. It was just
now. Is she trying to spin it somehow till she decided she didn't have the time to work it into her busy schedule or anything, Ralph?
No, I haven't heard that yet. Although she did spin early on when they started to leak the possibility she may not be returning, that how nervous she was, and she was never really happy doing it.
And she had a plan to get out.
She was going to fake a heart attack right. So she didn't have to go to work and all this stuff. So I think she has laid the seeds of some sort of. I'm actually glad it's over sort of play. We'll see.
And at least there's nobody jumping in going, no, Khloe, you're great on television. You should keep doing it.
You're the best host of things.
If you can accept that you're bad, you can really be much happier in life.
That's Kevin Ryder's...
That's right. That's my words to live by.
That is the way he lives his life. Justin Bieber, pop scrotum Justin Bieber, is just more and more horrible every day, we find out. The New York Daily News talked this week to George Bieber.
His dad?
His grandfather.
Grandfather.
George tells the New York Daily News at the age of 61 that Justin never calls or speaks to George.
Of course.
Just doesn't care, he claims. George says he's also broke and disabled. His wife, Kathy, works at a factory but barely makes enough money for them to survive. George is sad, he says, because Justin was once a big part of their lives. Now he just ignores his grandfather, who sounds like...
asshole.
He really could use, I don't know, a couple bucks,
a
maybe,
little something.
Of the mega millions you have, you douchebag. Meanwhile, your 61-year-old disabled grandfather is withering away with his wife at a factory job.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
So there's your pop scrotum douchebag update.
Bieber's got to be making $10 million a year, wouldn't you say, Ralph, easily?
Oh, easily.
Oh, I think more than that.
Yeah,
easily?
I think more than that.
I think it's closer to 20 or something like that.
I think you could throw Grandpa a couple of grand.
With this tour that he's doing now, I mean, I can't imagine what he's going to make this year. Yeah, Grandpa could be taken care of easily.
What if Grandpa's a dick, though?
It's still family. Most of our families are dicks, aren't they? So we don't just abandon them.
I'm actually a dick in my family.
See, there you go. They don't abandon you. Lord knows they should. And yet they keep letting you come home and they keep picking you up at rehab or whatever it is you're coming out of all the time.
You.
Just saying. Today's celebrity birthdays. Lee Majors is 74 years old today, the $6 million man. Also in the most recent reincarnation of Dallas and Raising Hope, 74 years old. Joyce DeWitt from Three's Company. She was Chrissy and Janet. She was Janet on that show. She was the one everyone didn't want to bang. She's
right.
Documentarian Michael Moore is 59 years old. Valerie Bertinelli is 53. George Lopez turns 52 years old. Cal Penn, who will be in our studios on Thursday, is 36 years old. And Dev Patel of Slumdog Millionaire.
Also, and the newsroom. Sorry.
And the newsroom! It's as if he wins something, like he gets a prize. Like,
Bean, do you get a prize when that happens?
Do you get a stuffed animal or something if you're the smartest guy in the room? Is there something
else? As you mentioned Dev's name, I thought, wait, I've seen him on something. And it just occurred to me, the newsroom. He's a regular on the newsroom.
And you have diarrhea of the mouth? You couldn't wait for him to take a break?
I thought I was contributing to the conversation. There was no way that I had to know when I said it that Ralph was also going to say it. You guys see that in retrospect,
yes,
right? I didn't know he was going to say it.
Right, but he was still talking when you said it. That's all I'm saying.
Well, whatever I apologize. I was saying, it was worthy of interrupting. You know that much.
I apologize if my contribution upset anyone.
That's the biggest non-apology ever. I love it.
He was also in that Marigold movie, by the way.
And the newsroom.
I'm sorry if everything I do to support you all on this show by propping you up is somehow bothering you. For all that I do to make this show a success while I have to work with you people, I hope that's not an inconvenience on your part.
Sorry that the gold that falls out of my mouth is not worth anything to my coworkers.
This seems more like an end of the show showbiz beat rather than a 9 o'clock showbiz beat.
I wish it was. Actually, I wish it was an end of my life showbiz beat. Sadly, the calendar page is going to turn it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
One of those very, very special evenings that you'll never forget if you're lucky enough to get tickets for Depeche Mode at the Troubadour. What are they playing? Like a whole bunch of nights at Staples Center, right?
Yep, three nights now.
So yeah, you see them with 20,000 people or you see them at the Troub, which holds like 8. So that's the deal. We're talking about Depeche Mode every 30 minutes starting right now until 8 o'clock today and all this week here on the World Famous Q-Rock. If you want to win them and you're a big Depeche Mode fan, you can call us right now as we play a game we like to call The Hardest Game in the World Part 2.
In a world where some games are easy and some are really, really hard, one game will rise up and shock the world. Proving once and for all, it is the super duper hardest. Yeah. From the feeble minds of Kevin and Bean, the producers of The Hardest Game in the World, comes a game so hard it will make you sh your pants. Your pants. K-Rock Radio, in association with 20th Century Lemur, presents a really, really hard game. Starring Hardy McDifficult and Tough Von Baffling. It's The Revenge of the Son of the Hardest Game in the World, Part 2, 2.0, The Wrath of Hard and the Goblet of Fire Reloaded. Music by Eddie Money, soundtrack available on Really Hard Records. Rated PG-71. No one will be admitted after the start of the game.
Sure. Sorry, we're out of time. Wow. We're out of time for the game. Mr. Announcer Man, so this game is not easy?
What's happening there, Mr. Announcer Man?
We're all surprised by the intro. No one remembers ever making that or why it's on the air.
Well, that happens more often than it should on this program. So the point is, Depeche Mode at the Troubadour, the game is difficult, right, Mr. Announcer Man?
It's hard. Get on with it.
Right. So why don't you explain for our callers on hold and those listening at home how the game is played, sir?
We'll be playing for you snippets of Depeche Mode songs. All you need to do is identify that song. Oh, I almost forgot. We'll be playing them backwards.
Yeah! That does sound difficult. All right. So if you're able to...
Mr. Announcer Man.
If you're able to identify the Depeche Mode song, you do go into the drawing. Lisa will tell you at the end who wins. Only one can. Abel is our first contestant, though. He is... Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Announcer Man, who's our first contestant?
No, you go ahead. That's fine. I'm just going to have some coffee.
Hi, Abel.
Hi.
Are you ready for The Hardest Game in the World, Part 2?
Yes, I am.
All right, here's your Depeche Mode song. You only get to listen to it one time. The song is backward. You have to identify it.
Oh,
rush. Fell down the
Sarah. That's pretty. That's kind of nice, actually.
Abel?
Is that somebody?
I want somebody to share.
It's you. Wow, this nice. Is whose game is impressed. Not that hard.
Bam, Abel. Wow.
We thought this game was hard.
Bam.
All right, Abel is in the drawing. Who's our next contestant, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Mona. She works at the Commerce Casino. Hit me.
Hey, Mona.
Hi.
You ready for your Depeche Mode song backwards?
Yes.
Good luck. That was it. Depeche Mode title.
What do you think there, Mona?
Please.
I don't know. I can't even hear it.
Take a guess.
Make it a Depeche Mode guess. Let's pick a song.
All right.
Thanks, love. Try
walking in my shoes. Walking in my shoes.
Walking in my shoes. Hey, here's a tip for all the contestants on the line, and I know we say this a lot, but if you're calling for this game, go ahead and have a Depeche Mode title in mind. At least take a guess if you don't know, okay? Okay. Who's next, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up.
That's Pete's idea of a pep talk.
I think that's extremely useful advice for these contestants.
Next up is Susan. She's an office manager.
Hi, Susan.
Hello. How are
have
you?
A song, Susan. God damn it. When you call in, have a song.
Okay. Just try, enjoy
just
the
try to help.
Personal Jesus. Precious.
You
Great
can't guess them all, though. We have to, hold on. We got to play the clip first, and then
oh,
you have
darn.
To guess. Here you go.
Number 9. All right, what do you think there, Suze?
World in my eyes.
It was the first one you guessed before.
Oh,
yeah. Enjoy the silence.
Sorry.
Thank you for trying, though.
Sorry,
all right,
Suze.
So far, only Abel is in the running to win the Depeche Mode at the Troubadour tickets. Let's see who's next, Mr. Announcer Man.
Next up is Carlos. He's a mortgage lender. Neither a borrower nor a lender be, Carlos.
Hello, Carlos.
Yes.
All right, good times.
Carlos sounds fun.
I hope you don't win. Here we go.
Barrel of a gun.
Soothe my soul.
Sorry.
Nice
Carlos.
Try, though. All right, I believe we only have time for one more contestant, Mr. Announcement. Who's it going to be?
Next up is Sherry. She's a molecular biologist. Yeah, right, and she listens to this show.
Does seem unlikely.
Liar!
You are, I'm not lying.
You are way too smart to be listening to this show. All right.
I love your show.
Are you ready for Depeche Mode backwards?
As ready as I'll ever be.
Here you go.
Policy of Truth?
I didn't hear an answer.
Is it Policy of Truth?
No.
Oh.
I was trying to give you a second chance
yeah.
there. But
it's
oh,
a Personal sorry. Jesus. It sounds exactly the same backwards as forwards.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry,
Sherry.
Thank you for
oh,
listening anyway.
You.
I hope you don't hate our show now that you're a big loser, but we appreciate it. Mr. Announcer Man, only one person was able to crack the hardest game in the world, part two.
And that winner is Jenny. Let's get tickets to Jenny.
I'm sorry. Jenny is not on the line. That was yesterday, oh, Mr. Announcer sorry. Man. I'm sorry. It's going to be our friend Abel, I think. Abel, way to go.
Yes.
Nicely done. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
Thank you, Kevin.
As you know, we're giving away Depeche Mode tickets every 30 minutes. Now until 8 o'clock here on the world-famous K-Rock and Viviana Martin from Valley Village.
Jenny is our winner.
I'm sorry. Jenny did not win. She was a contestant yesterday. Ralph, she did not win. But Viviana Martin from Valley Village did win, and we'll have them for you again at 10 o'clock with our friend Kat Corbett. Time for the Showbiz Beat Now here on Tuesday.
So Jenny gets screwed again? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Is Viviana your friend, too, Bean? Is that why you made sure she got tickets and Jenny
didn't
got
have
screwed?
Anything to do with it. I didn't. Ah, never mind.
Well, we need some sort of congressional committee or some sort of investigation into Bean's practices. Something's going on. Something hinky. There's some sort of payola or something.
There's
happening.
There's some nonsense going on.
Shenanigans or
I made a decision on the fly, and I don't think we need to revisit it again today.
I think we need to
have... Ralph's throwing a red challenge flag.
I am, and I think... I think it's got to go up the food chain. I think we got to...
There's no food chain.
We got to look at the food chain and see how far up it goes. It's like Watergate. I'm like a Woodward and Bernstein, and I'm just not going to rest until this cancer that is on the radio station has been ferreted out. I'm not giving up on this story. There's skullduggery afoot. That's what I'm telling you.
You're hoping that I'll end up like President Nixon in that situation and just end up resigning because I've shamed the nation.
And like Nixon, you'll never apologize. That's much we know for sure. I made a mistake. I'm doing a Nixon in 2013. That was the mistake I made. Pop scrotum Justin Bieber in the news. He's very proud of himself. He posted an Instagram shot of himself last night wearing a black Chanel ski mask. He thinks he's very, very hip. He's got a Chanel ski mask on. So impressed with himself, he captioned it with just one word. Channel. Yeah, he can't spell Chanel. Very proud of the brand that he's wearing, but has no idea how to spell.
He's me at Coachella.
He's a loser.
That makes me laugh. Meanwhile, his poor grandfather, newspaper in New York City, talked to George Bieber, who's now 61 years old. He is Justin's dad's dad. And says, Justin never calls, doesn't write, doesn't check in, just doesn't care. Turns out George is broke and disabled. His wife, Kathy, has to work at a factory to try to support them, but George says she barely makes enough money for the two of them to survive. George is sad, he says, because Justin was once a big part of their lives. Now he just ignores his grandfather. And it sounds like George could use a couple of Justin's multi-million dollars. Maybe he could stop eating the tins of cat food. Maybe George could there. That would be nice.
We don't. We have no idea what the situation was, the relationship is there. Do you think you have, forget Justin Bieber for a second, do you think if you become that rich, you have a responsibility to take care of every member of your extended family?
Well, define take care of. If they're destitute and in serious
trouble,
I think you have an obligation to help them, to rise them above that level.
And I don't think grandfather is that much of a stretch
it's not
either.
Second cousin on your mom's side once removed. It's grandfather. Right.
Don't waste our time with the elderly. They're dying.
Okay.
And you don't have to make them rich. I just think you have to get them above
Out of
the poverty line.
They shouldn't be worried about the next meal.
No.
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I was just curious what you thought.
Yeah, you do. You agree.
I do. I agree. And I also agree with what Kevin said, is there whoever, whichever one of you is, about this isn't some distant relative you don't know. I mean, this is somebody who's been in your life. It seems like, yeah, that's the person you take care of when you make the money. I agree.
Farrah Abraham, America's Teen Mom, she was seen going into Vivid Entertainment offices on Sunday, apparently to negotiate the price of what her sex tape will bring.
The sex tape that she made for privacy?
It's just for privacy. It's just for to make herself happy for herself and privacy. Well, apparently, privacy has a price. No word on what they're offering her. But the good news was she brought her 3-year-old daughter with her to negotiate. Which
great.
Nice. Well, they have an excellent child care program there at the Vivid Porn Company.
Look, I know she's a little bit famous with a certain segment of the country, but she's not nearly hot enough for us to really go out of our way to see her sex tape video.
No, agreed. She's not. And she says she wants north of $2 million for it.
Nope.
Which isn't going to happen, but I'll be happy to report that she has been offered from a Canadian porn website called bangyoulater.com. $100,000.
That sounds about right.
So I think she should grab that. Now, it is $100,000 Canadian.
Oh.
So I think it means it's like $14.95 US or something. But that gives you an idea of what people are offering. And she wants north of $2 million. So good luck there, Farrah Abraham.
She's going to be very...
I guess I've had a lot of flaws this year just trying to work out being 21.
Right,
my flaws being in the public eye because it's caused me a lot of issues.
Yeah. So your only flaws that you can see in yourself are... your age and the fact that you're in the public eye. Those are your two flaws.
That's the problem.
I'd like to have her on our show. I'd like to have a conversation with her.
I don't think that would go well.
I think it would
go well for us.
I think it would go magically. Let's see if we can get her on. We can promote her music career.
Sure.
We'll tell. We can play one of her amazing tracks from her album.
Enjoy the moment while I'm in love.
We have to play that?
Yep. And tell her we'll all chop some tabs of E and get a glow sticks and we'll all dance around nude. Whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get her in.
Sarah Abramson?
John Pemberton. Today's celebrity birthday is Dev Patel from Slumdog Millionaire is 23 years old today.
Ralph is going to go off one of these days and kill both of us. That's going to happen.
Well, it's not likely he'll kill me, but I think you should be very worried.
Trust me, I will. I'll commit. I will do whatever it takes to get there.
Oh, I'll be first. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, but if you hear a chopper coming over the island, and you hear the me humming the theme from Apocalypse Now, Flight of the Valkyries, I'm just saying you might want to get into the bomb shelter. Cal Penn is 36 years old today. George Lopez is 52. Valerie Bertinelli celebrates her 53rd birthday.
She's on that Hot in Cleveland show, you know, Ralph.
Valerie Bertinelli.
Michael Moore.
Hey, great input.
Successful TV career. I'm just saying, you think of her as being an old-timey 70s sitcom star, but she's still working and still popular here in 2013. That's pretty impressive.
I'm sorry if my contributions bother you people.
Michael Moore is 59. Joyce DeWitt is 64. And actor Lee Majors, better known as the
$6 million man.
74 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Showbiz beat. Tomorrow morning is too full. We might have to start early.
Tomorrow is a ridiculous show.
William Shatner is going to be on the show. Adam Carolla is going to be here with This Week in Rage. Rich Eisen from the NFL Network will be talking about the NFL draft. Brand new Internet Roundup. Zach Braff will be here talking about his new project. And Soundgarden will be here performing live.
What the what?
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin.